You have a pencil, pen, paper. I'd like for you to write down a number this morning. I'm going to show you a picture up here. And just write down this number, and then when we come to the end of the service, we'll look at this number again and see what change has is made. You'll notice it's scrolling up. 2,126,178,79,180. Just write down whatever that last number you can put down there. And that's where we began this morning. And this particular number is the abortions that have been worldwide since January 1st. And that's a whole lot. I did a little bit of calculation while ago on my phone, the calculator, and I took that number wherever it was then and divided it by, this is day 19, and it came out 117,778 children every day with the abortion before us. It's a tragic thing. America is involved in that very, very much. We're one of the most liberal countries in the world when it comes to abortion. But this figure that's scrolling behind me, I almost left it up. I was afraid it'd be too distracting to think about every time it changes. It's a child. Doesn't take long, does it? I looked this morning when I first began. I got up and got things ready to get things going this morning, and I think the figure was 2,110,000, something like that. And so it continues to scroll, and we'll be shocked, I guess. I have no idea what it will be when we come to the end of the service, but it'll be quite a bit higher. So just write that number down there that when we started, and we'll come back to that in a moment. Turn, if you would, with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm number 139. I think anything that's in the Scripture is very, very all important to us. There are many subjects that are given. There are many things that we have in the Scripture that relate to personal things in our life, and then some things that are there that maybe do not pertain to us too much. But then there are things that pertain to all of us, and really all the Scripture is for all of us. But there are certain areas that we look into and certain things that we can identify with. And I believe in verse number 13 of Psalm 139, we find that we can all identify with this particular passage, verse 13, verse 14, verse 15. Psalm 139 and verse number 13. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee. Now notice why. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which is continuance, and were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. Especially verse number 14, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. I know this morning that probably everyone in this building will agree with the things that I will be saying. But I want you to understand and sometimes we forget about it, that we are not in the majority. This world that we live around in Madisonville, Kentucky, Western Kentucky, Southern Indiana, Southern Illinois, when you start looking at all the people just in those three small areas, you'll find that there's a vast difference of ideas and beliefs when it comes to the very thing that we're talking about this morning. The sanctity of human life, and primarily this morning it's upon the subject of abortion. I can say here this in this pulpit, and I hope that I would be able to say it in any pulpit that I was standing behind, that abortion is sin, abortion is murder. And the sanctity of life is a topic or a subject that deals with us from the womb, really, to the tomb. Because life begins at conception and life ends, as far as this earth is concerned, is when our spirit leaves our body. And so it's from the womb to the tomb that we should feel that all life is in right relationship and have the sanctity of life and the sincere thinking and desire that life comes from God. If God gave life, it is only God that can rightfully take life. And to do anything other than that is sinful and wrong, and the Scripture calls it murder. Because of what we read in the newspaper and what I see on TV and some of the experiences that we sometimes will go through and comments that have been made to us, I believe that's why it's important that we understand what the Scripture says about life. Life is more than just the running to and fro. Life is more than yesterday we had a basketball game. Friday night we had a basketball game. Tuesday we'll have one. Saturday we'll have two. Life is more than just a game. Life is more than just traveling to and fro. Life is the substance of who we are and what we are. And life is very, very precious. When we look on television, we see that violence is escalating. You know why? Because there's no sanctity of life. There's no sincere appreciation that life comes from God. The crime continues to rise and the rate goes up. And the crime clock tells us that a woman is battered every 15 seconds. One, little over one adult woman is raped every minute. Crime against life and against people. Back in 1998, it was telecast on CBS television. Dr. Jack Kevorkian mercy killing that individual. I remember that. No sacredness of life. Pick and choose. Do what we want to do. It's our life. We'll live it the way we want to live it. Child abuse is increasing. There are 2 million children abused every year in this country. Now, to me, that's one of the most hideous crimes that could ever be, to abuse a child that is innocent and has no ability to protect themselves. It's terrible. And then they are protected by some of the laws and can move next door to us. We find that more and more we hear about the elderly, and their life is not important, so we do not continue the process of keeping alive. But this morning we're dealing with not those broad areas, but we're bringing it down because of what today is nationally. It's not a national holiday. Our government certainly would not recognize this. But there have been some Christians that have rose up and said we need to have a time that we keep our congregations focused upon some issues of life, and thank God for that. It encompasses a whole host of issues. When you talk about the sanctity of life, you're talking about, yes, abortion, but you're also talking about infanticide, which is the killing of children after they're born. You have mercy killing, assisted suicide, genetic engineering, experiments on fetal tissue. All those issues, all those things are involved in what life is and what life should be. The Bible tells me and tells you in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 26, that God made man in His own image. We're made in the image of God, and then that expressed image was found and was shown to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Life is sacred, and it involves the spiritual man. It involves the personal person. It involves the morality. It involves everything that has to do with life that we would put before individuals and say, this is life. There are those that medically and legislatively try to reduce what life is and the implications. There are those that try to pick out the best and make sure the child is going to be healthy. Make sure everything's all right. And make sure that we're not far off from what Hitler was in Germany, trying to make the perfect race. Well, I've got news for you. There's no such thing as a perfect race. We are human beings. And whoever we are, and whatever position we find ourselves in, and every one of us here this morning are different. We're different physically, we're different socially, we're different mentally. But just remember, the Bible says we are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of our God. And so that makes us special, whoever we are. Doesn't matter what area of life. Abortion is terrible, and it's not the only issue we face. We have those that's talking about cloning. We've heard a lot about that. And there's trying to be laws trying to protect the individual. There are those that want to have the perfect person. Will it come down to the elderly being denied the very needs that they have? And the water and the medicine that they need in order to continue life? Who is the giver and who's the taker of life? And I believe this morning that Christianity, I'm not talking about churches, I'm talking about Christianity that's real. I believe we are the last stop gap that there is for the human race. Because Christianity, that is real Christianity, we know where we came from. We know how we got here. We know where we're going. And we know how to get there. And it's all through the Lord Jesus Christ. And anything that interferes with that is a disruption to what God intended as far as humanity. And so I think we're the last stand against paganism. Oh, we're close to it. We're the last place that it's going to be, and that's why sometimes the battle rages against what we call fundamentalism. That's why the battle rages against morality. That's why the battle rages against what we think is just understandably right. How could anybody accept the murder of a child? How could anybody take that and run with it and have legislation in every state? And the Supreme Court, 40 years ago, the 22nd of this month, that's what, Tuesday, Wednesday, 40 years ago they said illegal to keep it from happening and made it legal to kill the unwanted. That was soon after I got out of high school. They'd taken the first steps while I was in high school and got rid of the Bible and prayer. Get rid of all the influence, then you can begin your trip. We've been on a long trip, hadn't we? And so in 73, I remember I was a third year Bible student in college. And I heard a lot of things being said about it, that it would lead to this and would lead to something else. And would finally lead to getting rid of the unwanted. That's 40 years ago. What do we hear today? That's where it's led. And so abortion is a very controversial subject. But it is a subject that must be met by the child of God. There is a decision that we have to make. There is a position that we have to take. This is one of those things that you can't be a gray area. You either are or you're not. You are with it or you're against it. You accept the Word of God or you reject it and try to explain it away and all the things that we hear so much. There are very many people that are strongly in opposition to my stand and your stand and this church's stand upon the subject of abortion. Our medical field is full of people on both sides. And they're strongly opposed. And to our shock, maybe, and to some of our surprises, even some Baptist people are very opposed to where we would stand on that issue. Abortion is a very controversial position for a politician. They always ask, where do you stand? What do you believe about? And then they put the name there. And it's a very touchy, controversial subject because out there in the world of trying to get votes, there's a vast bunch of people that will disagree with whatever you say. But I'm just of the opinion and I'm of the persuasion that we ought to stay and stand where we believe and what we know is right, regardless of what somebody else says. I've got people in my family that will not and do not and will never agree with me on certain subjects and issues, and this is one of them. But do we cow down? Do we temper our thoughts? Do we make it weak? Do we sort of blend in? I think when we do that, we have become a very ineffective person, an ineffective Christian. And I believe that's one of the problems in America because too many Christians, quote-unquote, have blended in and they're not making a stand and they're not saying anything and they're not doing anything to make a difference in this society in which we live. In 1973, well, go back a year, 1972, positions were put before the Supreme Court, Each side presented their case. And a year later, on January 22nd, the Supreme Court ruled that abortion was to be legal in every state. And since that moment, America has killed 50 million children. 50 million. I saw a group of states up in the northern part of our country, Michigan, Wisconsin, out that area, I think there's about 5 states. And they said, this is how many, population-wise, that has died to abortion. 4 or 5 states worth population have been killed and have been aborted since 1973. I personally, I don't have to say this, but in order for it to be on record that will maybe be put other places, I am opposed to abortion. God created life, and that makes it very sacred because we're made in the likeness and the image of God. Now, the reason that this world doesn't want God is because they don't want to think they're like in the image of God. And so we got to get rid of God first, and that happened a long time ago in our thinking, in our system, in our education. Do away with God, and we can put little one-celled amoebas, and we can crawl out, and we can get a little bigger, and we can become a monkey, and then we can become a man. We get rid of God. We don't need that. We have our evolution. And so time progresses on, and we have a generation now that has no idea, for the most part, who God is and what He did. And I think we should do everything that we can do to condemn abortion and those that are for it. I have personally made this statement, and I have stood by it. I will not vote for anyone that is an abortionist, in practice or in thought. I don't care what they call themselves. I don't care who they are. If they support abortion, I do not support them. And if Christians was right with God and serving the Lord, and if we'd get our thoughts right on a lot of issues, some of this junk wouldn't be going on in our country. But no, we're too fearful. We're too afraid of what so-and-so might think, or what they might say, or what somebody else might say. I think we should do all that we can do to get laws passed to get rid of it. And when you do that, our wonderful Supreme Court knocks it down just this past week. Every issue. Anybody that thinks our hope is in the Supreme Court making the right decision, you got your head in the sand 6 foot deep. Might as well jump the rest of the way in, because you might as well be dead. Because we are not supportive, and they do not support, and they are not where the Scriptures are. But I'm glad I have a God in heaven that can overrule the thoughts of mankind. Let me give you some abortion facts. I know this is a different message, but I think it's a needed message. Some abortion facts. Approximately 1.2 million abortions are performed in the United States every year. 1.2 million. The numbers are coming down, but that's beside the point also. Two-thirds of all abortions are among women that have never been married. Almost 25% of all pregnancies. Now listen to this. Almost 25% of all pregnancies nationwide ends in abortion. Less than 3% of those abortions have anything to do with rape or incest at all, or the health of the mother. 52% of American women that are obtaining abortions are younger than 25 years of age. I was looking on some different state places and numbers, and I don't know. I wrote down 14,000 babies were aborted last year also in the state of Alabama. Kentucky is right there with it. These are children that are being destroyed by government. I don't know about you, but it upsets me. It's a sin. And it's a sin that I believe God is judging America for even today. Except for biopsies to find out what's wrong, the most common surgical procedure performed in the United States is abortion. As I said earlier, American abortion laws are some of the most liberal in all the world. There are some countries in the world that's still illegal, but not the good old USA. America the beautiful may be becoming America the ugly. President Bush signed a bill in 2003 making it illegal to have partial birth abortion. Now, I won't even get into that. That's after the child is partially birthed. One of the first things that this present administration did was to overturn that rule. When Barack Obama was senator, he made this statement. He said his daughter should not be punished with an unwanted child. You know what that really says? He doesn't care anything about his grandchildren. And you think I'll go vote for that man? Or anybody else that agrees with that? I believe God would write Ichabod over my life. Those that have children, those that have grandchildren, he's saying they don't matter. And guess what? They don't matter to that crowd. Well, I've made some statements. Now let's read some scripture. That's more important anyway. I read to you, first of all, there, Psalms 139, verse 13, verse 14. I am fearfully, wonderfully made. Luke chapter 1, verse 15 declares that John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. That's a long time. That's real early. Genesis 2:7 says that God formed man into the dust of the earth, breathed into his nostrils, and he became a living soul. He didn't just come about. He didn't just bring together. It just didn't happen. It just didn't evolve. It didn't come from nothing. It came from God's breath. He formed man. He made man in his image, and he breathed unto him the breath of life. And that man, that individual, became a living soul. And if God made life, God's the only one that ought to take life. That's why the Scripture says, thou shalt not kill. Don't commit murder. Psalm 100 and verse 3 said, the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, not we ourselves. It is He that has done this. The reason we're here this morning is because God made us. God put within us the breath of life. And God made us a living soul. And we became a soul when conception was brought about. And we're never going to die. We'll live somewhere forever. We may die on this earth, but we'll not die forever because we're going to live somewhere. Isaiah chapter 49 verse 5 says, the Lord hath formed me from the womb. That's why it's from the womb to the tomb issue. The Lord hath formed me. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 4. This one of the I like this verse as much as any in the Word of God. Jeremiah 1 4 says, then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. May that abortionist argue with that. Explain that away. God says, before I formed you. Then he says, before thou came forth out of the womb, before you were born. Jeremiah, before you were born. He said, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. It's no surprise that we have the book of Jeremiah in our Bible. God says that was the way it was before you ever was born, formed, or even thought of. That throws a cog in some people's thinking. But this morning, we're dealing with this subject of how important life is. All through the Scripture we have nations and people killing the unwanted. We have the seventh king of Israel, of Judah, Ahaz, and he offered his own sons to the heathen gods. Offered them to the Amorite Molech. We've studied Molech before. It was that idol, it was that statue that stood and was a hollowed inside. And they would put the fire in the bottom and Moloch was standing there with his arms out as a god, and they would place their children in the arms of that false idolatrous god and offer their children as a sacrifice. And that was God's people doing that. That was Israel. How far can we go? How far down can we go? Just read how far Israel went. That's how far we can go. We may not have Moloch. We may not have that god, but we have other things that we offer our children to that destroys them. And that's a whole other subject. And so we're dealing with life. And I believe every Christian should take and has to take the principles of the Bible and apply them to their life. We think that we live in a pretty conservative area. I got news for you. On certain issues, our area is not real conservative. I got involved in a conversation this week. And man, before it was over, I was called everything that could be thought of. Simply because I said, total different subject, simply because I said that my child would not go to a school that had a sodomite teacher. I believe that. Wow. I still stand by that. Not if I know it. Abortion and the Christian church, the church of the Lord. The church started by Jesus Christ was a Jewish church. Soon after, the Apostle Paul and some of those other disciples began to spread out and the dispersion came and they began to preach the gospel. All of a sudden, the church became a Greek-speaking church, and then it began to go into other areas of the world and became really state religion and state organized, became a Roman church. And I certainly don't agree with all that, but that's the progress that was made. And we find that in the Roman world of people, abortion was very common. That's back 200-300 A.D. And the church, regardless what you want to put, that's a broad subject or a broad term. The church had always been in opposition to abortion. And I believe the church of the Lord Jesus Christ should still be in opposition to that. I think the statement needs to be made. The church from its inception was for the right of life and against the killing of life. Early church writer from 160 to 240 A.D., Tertullian was his name. He wrote this. He said, "A murder being forbidden, we may not even destroy the child in the womb." That's 2,000 years ago. And the church took a stand. We do not permit that. What do we do? How do we combat this? Do we go out and protest? Do we go out and hold our signs? And I'm not saying that we shouldn't sometimes. But is that the best way? I think the best way of protesting and the best way of getting the message out what's right and wrong is to preach the gospel. And that's where we have fallen short in our country. There's very little gospel being preached in our country. I don't care what denomination you want to write down. There's very little things being said that is according to the Word of God. And there's very few places that even know what the Word of God is. And so we find we're in a dilemma, but what are we to do? I'll tell you, we need to share the gospel. We need to preach the gospel. We need to tell people of the Lord Jesus Christ, because when they get saved, the Holy Spirit comes inside. And guess what? He is the teacher. He's the one that guides us. He's the one that directs us. He's the one. What are we to do? We're to preach, we're to teach, we're to proclaim the sacredness and the sanctity of human life. We must pray that God, oh may God help us and intervene in some of these areas that would help us to save the lives of these children. I believe we ought to try to influence our legislature. Thank God there's some up there that, especially in our state, there's some that are pushing and trying every year. But there's that little group that have more control and they vote it down. Do we quit? Do we stop? No. Make the phone calls. Tell people. What do we do? What about the victim? What about that young lady? I believe maybe churches have fallen short in that area. They're not second-rate citizens, people. They need the Lord. They need to see the love of God. They need to see Christ in us. Thank God for those centers and those places that try to promote the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a terrible sin. It's a terrible law. It's something that I believe is the, maybe can be and will be, the fall of our nation. Along with a lot of it, it's not by itself. Everything works hand in hand. But this morning, here, 40 years, we have lived under that. 50 million in this country. 50 million. That's the population of those five northern states around Lake Michigan. Well, let's see what our counter says. What was it a while ago? Somebody give me a number. 2,126. Well, in the matter of 30 minutes, $2,129,000. According to the World Health Organization, every year there's an estimated 40 to 50 million abortions worldwide. That averages out 125,000 every day. 125. That's four times the population of Madisonville every day that's aborted. And we think God will bless us. And we think God will shower His love upon us as a nation. I know you and I, we don't accept that. We don't want that. But I'm talking about as a nation. God judges a nation. And there's literally in the end times, there's the judgment of the nations. In the United States, there are over 3,000 abortions per day. This says 22% of all pregnancies end in abortion. May God help us. Sometimes children are aggravating, but they're children. Sometimes we could squeeze them real hard, not with a lot of love, but they're children. Even when they are older, they do not do as we feel, but they're our children. And we have that heart strain that cannot be broken. The child that was never born, I want to read it to you. This is a little guy waiting to appear, curled up inside his mother's protective atmosphere. He's the one they didn't plan on, the extra mouth to feed. A little inconvenient, neither of them need. His doctor bills and formulas, his sleepless nights and stress, his wet and dirty diapers in the house, that's a mess. He could have been a new car in a cabin with a view, or cruise or clothes or fancy shows and other dreams to come true. So they talk about abortion as the alternative. For the fetal imposition, he would change the way they live. He really isn't human, you know. He doesn't even breathe. He's just a misadventure that happened to conceive. They sit there in the waiting room with papers they must fill, the waivers, the consent forms, and the arrangements for the bill. They know it's what they have to do. There is no other way. But once or twice they wonder what this little guy might say. I wish you wouldn't do this. I've got so much to do. I have to learn to walk and learn to tie my shoe. I have to learn to whistle and learn to run. I have to learn to say my prayers when day is done. I need to watch for Dad and Mom at the door, and I have to ride in carts and when they take me to the store. I have to blow out candles and a lot of birthday cakes and pose for all the pictures that Mom always takes. But if you let them do this, I'll never learn to wave. I'll never have a birthday. I won't even have a grave. I'll never play a game. I'll never laugh or cry. I won't even have a name. And I'll always wonder why. Pretty sad. And when a person, when a nation makes it good, all right, acceptable to do that, the only thing that's waiting for us is the judgment of God. May God help us. Let's stand together this morning.